Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
God wants us to follow Jesus' example with relationships. Now, I know many of us go way off the reservation with this. We look at people that we have no business being with. They're not like us. They don't agree with us. They don't agree with the word of God. But we're attracted to them. Or we like the way they talk. Or we like the way they walk. Or they're a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. See, but the word of God brings us back to the center. What are relationships really supposed to be about? The people that come into your life really should be supporting God's will and plan for your life, not taking you away from church, not taking you away from the word of God. Well, I know you have Bible study, but hey, you go every week. Come on, let's go somewhere. We can go to a movie. Let's go to a play. Let's go somewhere. See, and you not wanting to hurt the feelings, you go. And you know what God says? Oh, look at that. How does this person have priority over me? And the Lord gets his feelings hurt. Jesus was saying those closest to you in your relationships must align with God's divine plan for you. Stop giving access to people who do not align themselves with God's plan for your life. That's a temptation. That person wasn't sent by God. Sent from the other place. Oh, now, Pastor, yeah, I'm telling you. God has divine connections for your success, and the devil sends people to ruin your life. And you need to realize that. Don't be naive. We talk about family and Jesus saying, well, these are my family. Those that are around me listening to the word of God, they are more important than my natural family. Oh, by the way, in John 7:5, it says, Jesus's brothers did not believe in him. You have relatives who don't believe in you. You have relatives who have put you down and tormented you since you were a child. You know it's the truth. And your godly family, your church family, are closer than they are. Jesus said, well, let it be. Well, let it be. Be truthful. We need to warn our loved ones that they need to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, but you don't have to put your head on a chopping block for them. You don't have to go way out of your way and do things that you know you shouldn't do. Well, I feel I shouldn't, but it's my brother. But it's my sister. So, you must discern relationships and how Jesus handled relationships is what the Bible tells us. Jesus knew his identity, and that was that God sent him to establish a salvation relationship with the world. And he never compromised his devotion to God or sinned. And I need to mention something here now because it's an amazing thing. The world in which we live now are saying all kinds of lies about Jesus. One of the lies is that he sinned. Let me read to you from a survey. It says, among the scripture engaged of all ages, 18% believe Jesus was a sinner. The devil is a liar. The American Bible Society survey reveals nearly 40% of Generation Z believe Jesus was a human and sinned just like other people here on the earth. Young people, the Bible says Jesus never sinned. For if he sinned, he could not save the world. If Jesus sinned, he needed a savior himself. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Now, Generation Z's are ages 12 to 27. That's a big gap. I mean, that's a lot of people there. So let me give you some scriptures that once again affirm Jesus never sinned. 1 John 3:5, it says, "You know that Jesus appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Hebrews 4:15 says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." And then 1 Peter 2:22 says, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." I rest my case. I can go on and on. The Bible says, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established." Let's see, 1, 2, 3. We cannot allow people to just talk about Jesus any way they want. I'm telling you guys, you've got to stand up for the Lord. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Those who are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of when I come back with the holy angels of God." When you hear people disrespecting the Lord, when you hear people lying about who he was, when you hear people saying he was a sinner, you need to challenge them and say, "No, he wasn't." That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus is the Son of God. He never sinned, and he never will. And you need him as your Savior and Lord, because you're going to hell if you don't. You can just throw that in there. Every relationship Jesus made was based upon his identity and his purpose. And that's what we have to think about, folks. We really have to get serious about our relationships and think about our identity. Who are we? Do we really belong with these people? Are they really a part of the people I should be hanging out with and going places with? Jesus realized and always remembered that he was the Son of God. He came into this world to save the world. He had a purpose. Now, the Pharisees and the religious leaders criticized him because he was associating with tax collectors, who were, in their opinion, the worst people in the world, and sinners. In fact, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, it talks about this. It says, "Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other notorious sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, 'Why did your teacher go and eat with such people?' And when Jesus heard this, he said, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor, just the sick.'" But this is interesting. In verse 13, he says, "For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners to repentance." How difficult it is to convert a person who thinks they're righteous, who thinks they're okay. "Well, it's all right. I do all the things I'm supposed to do. And it's all right. I don't need to do what you're telling me. I don't need to pray and read the Bible every day. I'm a pretty good person myself," see? Jesus also said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." The relationships that Jesus established were always relationships connected to his purpose to share the gospel with others. Now, I know this is limiting the number of people that you will have a relationship with, but God did say he wanted you to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is the word of the Lord. In Matthew 4:18, it says, "Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.' And they immediately left their nets and followed him." The people Jesus established relationships with, they were always about God's purpose. They were always about sharing the gospel. They were always about building the kingdom of God on earth. They were always about preparing people for eternity. How many people like that do you have in your life? Jesus is our example. Let me ask you a question. What do you base your relationships upon? Is it to fill your bucket list? Friends to travel with? Oh, I want to swim with dolphins. That's in my bucket list. Will you come swim with some dolphins with me this weekend? I want to take a safari to Africa. Come with me. Oh, I want to visit the Great Wall of China. I'm still looking for somebody who wants to go to China and see that Great Wall. And for you young people, your bucket list may be a new car, a brand new car. Some of you already have one and said, "Preach, I already got a car." Well, I'm not talking to you. The relationship with God should establish who you are. And when I say the, I mean your personal relationship with God should establish who you are, who you should pick. Who are you? People will say, "Well, man, I think you're cool." Well, do you think Christians are cool because Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord? You think Christians are cool? You got to come out of the closet. Everybody else has. What are you waiting for? Everybody is not any more ashamed to say what they do, what they've done, and they'll tell you how to do it if you ask. It's important for Christians to say who they are.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve, and each of us have a prophetic destiny. Every person born is simply searching for the why and the how of their existence. Everyone wants to know, why am I here? And how do I accomplish my true purpose? Well, the why and the how of our existence can only be found in God, our Creator. The Bible says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves." Your purpose is discovered by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you will never gain greater satisfaction in life than to serve your true purpose. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
I'm going to say it again. Relationships ought to be conducted with eternity in mind, folks. Don't act like you're going to live down here forever. Don't get all caught up in this stuff. The Bible instructs us in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. See, if you're a child of God, it's important for you to understand what this really means. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, then you need to understand that your character now is to reflect His character. Your decisions are to reflect the decisions He would make with people. Your behavior is to reflect His behavior with people. And also your purpose now you receive from Him. God said, "Be like my Son." His purpose was to save the world. And guess what? Now your purpose is to save the world. Oh, not to get up on a cross, but to let people know about eternal life. That they're sinners. They need Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. In John 20 and verse 21, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Now listen to the relationships that he wants to establish. He wants us to establish with other people. That is in Matthew chapter 28 and 19. Listen to what Jesus said. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all that I have commanded you to do. And be sure I will be with you until the end of the age." It is so important that we do not get caught up in this world culture. Too many Christians are falling in line with this world's culture, you guys. its values, its interests, its politics, its entertainment, and its fashions, and they can tell you everything that's going on, but they can't tell you where to find this or that in the Bible. Oh, you know people like that. I want to just caution us all in this, because we are not here as permanent residents. We are simply pilgrims passing through this world. Why are we getting so attached? Why would we get so attached? We are here to represent another king and another kingdom. Maybe you need to say it so you can hear yourself saying it. Come on, repeat after me. I am here to represent another king and another kingdom. And if you meant that, give God a hand of praise, because it is true. Listen to what John said in 1 John 2 and 15. Do not love this world, nor the things that it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. It's in competition with God, the love of the world and the love for God. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything else we see, and pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from God the Father. They are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does the will of God and pleases him, they will live forever. How many of you want to live forever? Stop loving the world if you do. Folks, life on earth should be viewed as a temporary assignment leading to eternal promotion as kings and priests of God. Come on, say, I'm a somebody. I'm a king and I'm a priest of God. If you meant that, give God a hand of praise. Revelation 5 and 10 says Jesus has made us kings and priests to God, and that we will reign with him on the earth. Why are we stooping to be a part of this world when we're kings and priests to God? And we will reign over this world. And here the Bible is talking about the millennial kingdom of Christ. After the rapture occurs, we'll be taken to heaven. In fact, let me just read that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them who are still alive, that's us, if we're still alive, we will be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall forever be with God. The Lord. We got an event coming pretty soon, folks. We can't afford to get all caught up in this stuff down here, because Jesus is coming very, very soon. I need to just skip right to something that the Lord put in my heart. And that is this. Don't allow the devil to fool you into things that will keep you out of heaven. Many people say, well, I'm faithful to my wife or my husband. I'm not getting involved in any illicit relationships or anything like that. But there's something else that the devil will do. He will cause you to be offended with people. And if you don't deal with it the right way, it can keep you out of heaven. And when people are offended, they feel they're right. And yes, you may be right to be offended because something happened, but you don't have the right not to forgive. You don't have the right to say, well, I'm not going to do what the Bible says. I'm not going to go and speak to that other person. I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm just not going to do that. Folks, listen, disobedience to God's word will be the major reason professing Christians will not make that happen. Listen to this survey. It's called Hang-Ups in Offering Forgiveness. Although most Christians recall a point at which they gave no strings attachment forgiveness, some express reluctance in specific cases. Now listen to this. Around 1 in 4 practicing Christians admit that they have a person in their life who they just can't forgive. And 66% of people will leave a church because of an offense. Can I ask you a question? What did Jesus do to you? What did the people in the church do to you? And let me tell you how God says you're supposed to handle that. In Matthew 18, 15, if your fellow believer sins against you, go and tell him in private what he has done. And if he listens to you, you have helped that person to be your brother and sister again. But if they refuse to listen to you, go again with two other people who can be a witness. And if he refuses to listen to them, then go tell the church leaders. And if he refuses to listen to them, then treat him like a person who does not believe in God. See, there are church principles that we ought to follow about offenses. And this was something given directly from Jesus himself. Jesus says we have to forgive everybody. And he gives us a graphic example of divine love and forgiveness while he's dying on the cross. The Bible says Jesus prayed while he's dying on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if we should stand before the cross of Christ, God and Christ who forgives and says, God may forgive you, but I won't, that's blasphemy. You are standing against the cross of Christ when you forgive. That is, when you fail to forgive others from hurting you or offending you. Do you know what? The other thing is this. I need to mention this. God gives us the power to forgive. In Romans chapter 5:5, it says, "But we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." The Holy Spirit will fill your heart and you will be able to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of the will. I'll say it again. It's an act of the will. And you must forgive. In Luke chapter 6:37, Jesus said, forgive and then you will be forgiven. In fact, in Mark 11:25, it says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven, listen, will forgive you, listen, of your sins. Are you hearing me? If you don't forgive people, God will not forgive your sins. You're not going to heaven. If you are holding a grudge against people so that your Father in heaven will forgive you, you must forgive them. That's the word of God. The devil has deceived you. He told you, you can have it your way. When somebody hurts you or offends you, you can do it your way. That's a Burger King commercial. You reign, lie. God reigns. God's word is true. Don't go to hell over an offense. Forgive like Jesus did. Come back to his word. Obey God.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of the message today is Principles for Relationships, What's Right and What's Wrong, Part 8. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Holy Son. We want to thank you for your unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness. Father, sometimes the devil tells us because we've done so many things wrong that there's no way God is going to forgive you. Well, we know that the devil is a liar. And Father, I pray for every person who feels like they've gone too far and there's no forgiveness. Well, the devil is a liar. And I ask now by the power of your Spirit that you would communicate that to every person. Father, we remember Peter who denied Jesus 3 times and Jesus forgave him. Lord, right now, Let your forgiveness be extended to every person. Father, let people who need to hear this prayer in particular, hear this prayer. And may they lay down at your feet and receive the love that you are pouring out to them right now. We bless you in Jesus' name. You are the God of love. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.